Welcome to Apartment 4D, the podcast all about New Girl. I'm your host, Jill, here on Zoom with my co-host, Heather.
Hi, everybody.
And Joseph.
Hello.
Like an angry hello. And we're here to discuss season 4, episode 7, Goldmine. But before we do, as always, we'll confuse Joe by passing around the feeling stick. Joe, do you have something for the feeling stick?
Yeah, you know, I think my feeling stick is going to be off screen today. And what I mean by that is there's been some good comments about our podcast on Instagram.
Oh, true.
Yeah, where people are like, you know, I kind of like this more in-depth thing and, you know, the fans' perspective thing. And I think that rings true with a lot of things, you know, like, you know, they can relate the way we relate versus an actor can relate, you know?
Nice.
A very carefully worded feeling stick. I agree, Joe.
Yeah, it's all relatable.
Now, Heves, I would normally go to you, but I'm going to give myself the turn first because mine was similar. I had two things in my notes for feeling stick. One, that there was a time a couple not that long ago when I was like, should we even keep doing the podcast? Like, I'm not sure what to do in this situation. And like and I didn't really say it on the podcast or on Instagram too much or anything, but they're like lately the overwhelming, like really nice and kind responses to people. Some fans are new because they're commenting we're not nice enough to Joe. So they haven't gotten the dynamic yet.
Yeah.
To clarify, there was a gnat in front of the screen. That's why I was doing that, Joe. Not having a seizure. My second feeling stick is not related to New Girl or really anything that has to do with this podcast at all, but I'm going to the John Mayer concert in 3 weeks at the Forum, and I'm so excited, and I won my tickets on a radio station, and I still don't have them, so I'm super worried that they're terrible seats, and I'm going to have to buy better seats, and they're going to be sold out, but overall, I'm pumped. And you have.
Nice. I have two feeling sticks. I would like everyone to know that I am a good person, and Jill is now in possession of her glasses.
Wow.
I returned them, as you all might remember from last week. We discovered for 8 years I had her glasses. And also, I watch a show on Netflix called Sweet Magnolias. I was impressed with the second season. The first season was great, but if you enjoy like pretty print dresses, you know, you're a fan of clothes like Jess's, or they're not like Jess's, but if you like to see women in pretty dresses, they have a lot of great dresses. They're always at church and special stuff.
Cool. Okay,
so you can watch that if you want to.
All right, and then we'll kick off the episode. The description for season 4, episode 7, Goldmine is, this is the Netflix description, Jess's new boyfriend seems threatened by Nick, so Nick pretends to be gay. Schmidt is dismayed when Cece contemplates breast reduction surgery. Before I pass it over to Joe for the Joeflix description, I want to say that this is one of the most brilliant episodes of New Girl, has two of the strongest, funniest scenes, and I'm so excited to talk about it. Joeflix.
You can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me explain.
That's so what the segment is.
Jess is wanting to bring her boyfriend home, and all the exes leave Nick, right? So there's one example. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. Nick with all the different girls from the tavern girls, mm-hmm, or the hussies, or the uh-ohs, whatever you want to call them, and then Nick pretending to be gay. It's just, you can't teach, you know, a straight man cannot pretend to be gay. It just doesn't happen. It's too hard for Nick. I shouldn't generalize.
Yeah, you shouldn't
it,
say that. Nick,
but for Nick, it's just not there.
Okay, Heather, Joeflix or Netflix?
Joeflix?
I'm going with neither. Guest stars from this episode include Michael Stahl, who plays... Nope. Michael Stahl David, sorry, who plays Ian, who was in Narcos, and Tina, who's played by Amanda Lund. And I have to be honest, I watched this episode a lot of days ago. I'm really worried about how I'm going to do on this. So we kick things off in the loft. Jess is going on her third date with Ian, which is, quote, when mama gets her biscuits, which means she'll be bringing him home. And should she tell Ian she's living with her ex? All the guys say no, except for Nick's like, yes, I love to tell girls that I live with my ex because he sleeps with them and then they bounce and they don't try to have a commitment. And again, we're seeing Nick do some real weird behavior. He's not really the healthiest mental state, I think, currently. Probably.
And he offers to pretend to be a ghost.
He did offer to pretend to be a ghost. I don't think it hasn't happened yet, but yeah. Okay. It might have. So Nick and Jess are together in the next scene in the loft, and he's referring to the girls, like Joe said, the tavern girls, the uh-ohs. And he says, just tell Ian. That's when he comes up with all the excuses that she could give other than saying that she lives with her ex. So we're in the elevator with Coach and Winston. And Winston is sorting the hot girl neighbor's mail, who technically Schmidt should be like subletting to them, but that's never addressed.
Yeah.
And he says that these girls won't ever sleep with you. And he's like, I'm playing the long game, Coach. Like, I'm putting in the work. And Coach just asks the girls, you want to hang out? And they say yes.
Oh, that
unbelievable.
Was
what, Heather?
Yeah.
That was so funny.
Yeah, but okay. So for those who have closed captions.
Oh, boy.
The first part of the conversation when the three guys are there and Jess is you missed some of the hilarious jokes that was told. And one of them was that Jess said, look, guys, we got to keep the toilets flushed. Stick around. Take a second look.
Yeah. So to clarify, you don't need closed caption in order to hear that joke. It's just that we're on Zoom and I only have 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But thank you.
Then I don't know if the girl's there yet, but the girl who... she comes out of the room right in the middle of their conversation.
Steal stuff.
And then she overhears, but I live with my ex. And she's like, I'm out of here. But first I'm going to steal some stuff. And then as she takes the books on the bookcase, Coach goes, We don't read those no more.
Yeah.
Trying to justify the stealing as no big deal.
Right. Okay, so to move on, only in the interest of Zoom time, we find out that Cece is trying to borrow a bra from Jess, which makes no sense biologically, but she wants to feel what it would be like to have smaller chests because she's thinking of getting breast reduction surgery. And we hear Schmidt from across the loft in his room, hear this news, come running, burst in, completely freaking out. Classic Schmidt. Now we're at the bar where Schmidt is grieving and he's in the stages. He already had denial and anger. There's a little bit of a flashback. He's currently in bargaining. And then we see Winston and Coach still discussing the date with the girls, where Winston says he won't compromise the long game and walks away. So Coach is like, you know what you need, because you're so upset about Cece, is to go out on this date with me, which is so awful if he knows Winston's into those girls to bring his other friend. I'm disappointed in Coach. This whole episode.
I'm always disappointed in Coach.
That's a bold statement. I'm going to say 75% of the time.
Except for Daquan.
Daquan Feldman. So Jess is now on her date and she's like, we should go back to Mike's place, but I do need to disclose that I live with my ex. And he starts to make a face and she's like, and three other guys. It's more zany than sexy. Which is amazing. And Ian's
it's
like,
true.
It really is. And Ian's not having it. So she just bursts out that her ex-boyfriend's gay. And this is what I'm talking about, Heather. I saw your face when I was like, this is the most amazing episode with the best scenes. And it's been all over the internet, this scene. It's one of our most viewed videos, actually, when we posted on our Instagram. When she walks in and yells, you're gay, be gay, be gay. And then he's like, well, my friends call me gay Nick.
Gay Nick.
And then when Ian leaves and they're discussing the whole backstory, and he's just like, he thinks he's shattering stereotypes. And is he mad at Anderson Cooper, or is it in his own way more brave what he's doing? He's from an oil town where masculinity is the currency. I mean, come on, Hebs. You got to admit.
A perfect Sunday is pot pie, a game, and a guy with no top on.
I mean, that is just, it's just amazing, that scene. And someone did a filter on it where, like, they look like Disney characters, and it on TikTok, and we reposted it twice, once a long time ago, which I found it. And I was like, this is amazing. I'm going to go out of order. And then this week to talk about this episode, and Jess's face looks the same in the filter, because her face is like a Disney character's, which is the only reason I watched it, kind of pay attention the first time. But if you really listen to what they're saying in that scene, it's so funny. It's like, I can't, we're doing this. Don't put me in a box. It's just great. It's just all great. Go back and watch it if you're listening to this.
But what you might miss if you don't have closed captioning is when Nick is like, Jess is like, okay, Nick, you got to stop with the girls. I don't understand. And he's like, you don't understand. It's tough on Nick right now. Girls are wearing scarves and they're wearing boots and, you know, they're dressing all up. And Jess goes, are you blaming Autumn?
Yes. That happened a couple scenes ago, but thank you, Joe.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It was a closed caption thing.
So no, it's not. I can't read the whole script of the show. Although that one guy on Instagram got mad at me. He's like, you could say more funny things that happened. Like, dude, how long do you have the podcast to be? And I also want to say, because Joe said closed captioning twice, if there is someone out there who can help us and make the bingo sheets for the podcast, I do have a full-time job and a child who lives with me and an adult child who doesn't live with me, but who I love to get into her business and boss her around. And I help Joe with his business. And I try to maintain good mental health. I don't have time to make the podcast sheets. I don't even understand how to make the thing with squares with the things. So if you
help me with stuff,
I do. So if you're a person out there and you're like, oh, I know how to use whatever program you would make that in, just can you connect with me on Instagram? I'm not looking to sell them for money. I just want everybody to have fun. So, okay, that's all.
And Joe and I don't help with the podcast.
You guys really don't? Yeah. You don't at all. Okay.
We're two-thirds.
Sometimes you even make it harder. Which is why I'm out of Joe. Okay, we're going to run out of time. So the guys show up for the dates at the apartment with the girls, and Winston's there putting together a shelf. Schmidt's in a depression. He's acting weird. He's talking about Cece's two breasts going away, but it sounds like he's talking about the guys going away. The girls are getting really emotional. Eventually, they figure out what happens, and they kick them out. And Winston is so mad because Coach just ruined 6 months of his life. He's been working on the long game with these girls.
Coach.
So now we're in Jess's room. She high fives Ian, which she got mad at Dr. Sam for high fiving her, giving her knuckles. So that bothers me. And Nick's at the door. He messed up. He made a mistake. It was too hard being gay for one night. And he brought a tavern girl home and he can't get rid of her. So Jess tries to scare her off herself and it doesn't work. Winston's back in the girl's apartment. Coach completely loses it. And he's like, that's enough. You're manipulating my friend. You have to stop. And they're like, no, we're not. And he's like, well, Winston's not going to help you anymore. I love Winston's gigantic pencil behind his ear, by the way.
I love that thing. And it matches the yellow in his shirt.
Yes. And his hard hat, which he doesn't have on then, that we'll see later. So eventually the girls decide to play rock, paper, scissors to see who's going to sleep with him. There is a winner. Winston's like, you don't have to do it. She's like, no, it's okay. I kind of want to. And, you know, Coach is just like completely left in shock. There's a lot to unpack there. He's going to move on.
But there's one thing
it's a very problematic scene.
I have to back up to Nick's date when she says to Jess, you look like my dead friend, Karen. Does anyone tell you that?
I feel like they could tell her that. There's a lot in that scene too. And I'm disappointed we can't go more into it, but that's a really good, funny scene. So in the kitchen, Nick's just saying weird, random stuff that makes him sound like a very odd gay person. And Ian's like, you know what? I don't think you're really gay. And that again, Heather, this is the tie-in back to my favorite scene. Schmidt comes in a cardigan. He's depressed. Where have you been all night? I've been worried. It plays perfectly. Like he is gay and he is Nick's boyfriend. And Ian says, I'm so sorry. Like that was beautiful. And then I love when Nick's like, give me a kiss. And he kisses Schmidt, who's always trying to kiss him. And he's like, I feel like that was more for me than it was for you. The scruff on your face is perfect. Don't change your beard setting. It's so funny.
And then he goes, I like sleeping guys. We call them drowsers.
Yeah, I forgot about that. What kind of guys do you like? And he's the sleepy one. He'd like Joe right now, who's literally like falling asleep on the Zoom during our podcast. Then the room, and Jess apologizes because the girl comes out and kisses Nick and blows the whole thing. And she's like, but you know, would there have been really a good way for me to tell you? And the whole relationship, or three dates worth of relationship, kind of blows up. Cece's at her doctor's appointment. Schmidt somehow knows where it is, interrupts, and wants to say goodbye to her chest. She says he could say goodbye to one boob, but he can't because that's a real, quote, Sophie's chocho. This episode is very problematic, actually.
That is so disturbingly wrong.
Yeah. So
when the girl kissed Nick, though, he's like, what are you doing? You're not a man.
And you're not a man. Yeah. But back to the scene we're talking about. So Cece says, fine, you could see both. He puts an earphone so she can't hear what he's saying. He has the most ridiculous gestures, lengthy conversation. And eventually she overhears that he says that, you know, she's the most beautiful girl in the world. And so it doesn't really matter, whatever, something kind of touching. So then in the bathroom, everyone's waiting for Winston's in the shower because he gets real dirty. And that's when they find out Cece may not go through with the surgery. And Winston comes in and says, can I take a shower next? I'm real dirty. And we find out Nick's date is in there and they have great water pressure because we should see all the things that are falling out of her hair. Ew. So worried about his decision-making in this episode. That wraps the episode. We're going to get into the questions unless anyone wants to go back a scene or two, because that seems to be the theme tonight.
I wish we could unpack it all.
Right? We have to leave some of it packed.
For our next trip.
Exactly. Some of it's in laundry. Joe, do you have anything to say before I move on?
Like I said, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Okay. I mean, Nick tried to be gay and pretend he was gay, and he just couldn't do it. There's too many obstacles
to overcome. Did he go through a lot?
Like, the only obstacle he had was wanting to have sex with a girl that night, but I don't know, whatever. So we'll go to Jess look first. Joe, you love fashion. What's your favorite Jess look?
Oh, God, you know, Jess really wasn't in this show. I remember her wearing a white and red dress, but I didn't pay much attention beyond that.
Like, it's so many scenes. Heather?
Okay, I absolutely loved the sleeves on that light blue bathrobe.
I don't know that bathrobe.
That may be my all-time favorite of her robes/pajamas.
I like the pink robe.
Yeah, the pink robe's good too, but the sleeves.
That's like catnip.
So glamorous.
All I wrote down for favorite look was the opposite, which was how much I hated the shirt she's wearing in the opening. It reminded me of like the outfit, the big ghost wears in Ghostbusters. Do you know what I'm talking about? He's like a big white ghost and someone knows. Someone out there is going to know what I'm talking about. Like, I literally thought that's what that was. Like, oh, it's a shirt of the Ghostbuster ghost. Anyway.
Yeah, he's like a puffy ghost.
Yeah. He looks like he's on a cereal box or something.
He's kind of like a marshmallow ghost.
I'm going to move on in the interest of saving time. So I'm giving best dressed to Winston. A hard hat, a pencil. He's adorable. He's like the village people. Heather, I see by your flail of your arm.
Samesies.
That's fine to have samesies. Joe, who's your best dressed? Winston, too.
Oh, gosh. In this episode, I would say...
This is why we need bingo.
I mean, trying to think, because... I don't know. I don't think I really had one, because nothing really fit with the theme. You know what I'm saying?
No, I just need to know who your best dressed is.
Like, it would have been really funny if the writers would have put in some stereotypical gay clothes. And Nick all of a sudden is wearing like rainbow pants or, you know, these bright green neon glasses or, you know what I'm saying? That would have been funny. But he was wearing a lumberjack shirt the whole time.
I mean, I'm thinking it's time to go shopping.
What? Joe.
Okay, I'm going to move on to the favorite Schmidt scene. Heather, why don't you kick it off? Because you love him best. Zero on the jar count, by the way. It's all a myth that they use the jar a lot. Heather, favorite Schmidt scene.
I couldn't decide between these two equally inappropriate things.
It's a so lot of inappropriate.
Pro show and he's the Schindler of breasts.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
So or his kids will throw rocks on his grave or something.
Yeah, your children or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this episode. I don't know. Maybe it's not my favorite episode. Now I feel bad I said that.
It's not PC. Let's just.
Yeah, no, but it was nice when Schmidt said, I don't care what size you are.
Yeah. Because
that's the most beautiful person in the world.
That was nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe, was that your favorite Schmidt moment then?
When he said no. That? The Nick and Schmidt interaction was hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
That was so funny. Give me a kiss. No, he seems like you wanted it more than I did.
So amazing. I know. I'm sorry I was gone all night. I know you were worried about me, but don't worry. I was safe. Who comes up with this stuff? I wish I was that funny and creative. So
funny.
Favorite or funniest moment overall, you're gay, be gay, you're gay. And then it coming back to the scene where Schmidt walks in to me is just, I mean, overall an episode that, yeah, not very PC now that I'm looking at it in detail. But I mean, those scenes, it doesn't matter how many times I see them, I will laugh so hard. Heather?
My honey roast?
No, your favorite or funniest moment, Joe Jr.
Oh.
It's hard to keep track of them all.
I like literally ask you the question. This is what I'm saying about you guys making it harder.
Yeah, I got confused.
I could see why.
Yeah, I didn't do a favorite funniest.
Okay, Joe.
I liked it.
Favorite or funniest, Joe, overall.
Well, it's that same scene. I mean, I don't see any scene that really trumps it other than the conversation at the start where Jess is saying, keep the toilets flushed, you know, stick around, take a second look, that kind
Tighten
of stuff.
Tighten it up is what she says. Yeah. Okay, so Honey Roast Award for best character performance, etc. Heather, you seemed eager or ready, so why don't you lead it off?
Everybody's going to have the same thing. Nick as a gay man.
Nick, yes, I have. And he also went through a lot.
I rarely, if ever, give him the honey roast, but he needs it.
Went through a lot of girls is what he went through a lot of. Joe, your honey roast?
Yeah, definitely Nick. And it doesn't seem like there's any jealousy in the house. I mean, that's kind of weird living with your ex, you know, although I live with you for like a day at a time, but when you live with them, like,
oh my God, first of all, we'll get into that in discussion. You were here for way more than a day.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just think that it's just weird that there's no jealousy there. But again, that's the show. That's the charm of the show, you know, is they take what could be a tense situation and turn it into hilarious, just like hilarious. They get sexual situations, turn it into hilarious, you know?
Yeah, we've discussed before how because of the new season starting, it was like kind of like a flash forward and just, oh, they're over each other and we're all supposed to just go along with it. And they're at a wedding trying to help each other hook up with people. Now this, but it's obvious Nick's behavior, he is not overdressed. He's not okay because he's sleeping with like trashy women and trying to get rid of them as quick as possible. Just like when he went through his underage girl phase, Heather.
Well, what would happen is if you were watching the show not on Netflix, you would have had a whole summer pass. So it would make sense.
That's true. I still feel like it was there's a gap. Like you didn't feel, like Joe says, it's weird. There's no, you know, jealousy. I remember a question, Ron. So I'm going to move on to bears. Heather, did you catch it? Because it happened.
No.
Joe, did you catch the bear?
Let me see him. Bear.
You either did or you didn't, pal.
Nope.
Okay. So because I have the scene memorized, he says, maybe I'm a bear. Maybe I'm a twinkler. And Jess goes, those aren't types or categories. Don't put me in a box. There's nothing us gay men hate more than being put in a box. Literally have it memorized. So that was the bear. Nice. Yay, yeah. Us. And that brings us to discussion questions. Heather, why don't you kick it off with a discussion question?
Yeah, I have mine are pretty basic, short.
Okay.
But I last week of the podcast, in my feeling stick, I said, this is the first episode with the new intro, but I forgot to tie that in my questions. Who likes the intro better or worse?
That's an interesting question because it's really controversial. People are very divided, I've noticed, on the internet. I like, fuck, I'm going to get hate for this. I like this new intro. I feel like it was shorter. I feel like the other one took a lot away from the episode, like in time wise. And I never really understood it because I was like, I get it, it's just an intro, but like, why are they doing arts and crafty performance in the loft?
Who's that girl? It's dead.
I mean, I love the song. I think it's cute, but I like this one better. And I think that like, and this is so stupid, but like Nick looks so handsome. Yeah. That's why I like it better. Joe, what about you?
Discussion question?
No, Joe, so... pal, just answer Heather's discussion question. Do you like the opening where Jess sings, or do you like the new one these last two episodes, or do you even not see it because you're watching on Netflix?
Well, you can hit skip intro, but I like the one where at the end they go.
Yeah, Lamorne's the one who whistled. We did learn that about
whistle,
a year ago.
That whistle makes it hilarious. I think that's the first one, but
that is the first one. I like one. The
whistle.
Heather?
Well, I hope people don't start hating me, but I hated the first one.
Yeah, no, that was like, way too strong. People are going to get mad at you.
But it would have made me not watch it if you hadn't told me to watch it. It was so lame. And then this one is more sophisticated, and it has Cece in it. Cece deserves to be in it.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, did you say you had a second question?
Yes. How would Cece have insurance now from working part-time as a bartender?
Literally, thank you. I was so worried about time. I was like, I'm not even going to write it down. But I was like, what do you mean you have insurance now? You work at a bar part-time. Joe?
No, because I can get insurance. Anyone get insurance now? You can get Obamacare or Bidencare. Or-
well, this was a different time, but... Yeah, she could have afforded to buy insurance. Joe makes a good point.
Recently translated job transition.
I just feel like if she was buying her own insurance, she could have bought it back when she was buying fancy cars and being a model. So the fact that she's at the bar now doesn't give her access to buying insurance, but it's just a plot hole. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
Heather, did you have another question? Are you good?
Oh, do you think Jess is telling people too soon that she lives with her ex?
Well, you have to tell them before they come over.
It's not a first date conversation, though.
Gotcha. Before they come over. I guess she's not old school. She doesn't go on like 20 dates.
It was her third date, remember?
That's when mama gets her biscuits.
Yeah. So by the third date, yeah, you gotta tell them.
That makes sense. Thanks, guys.
So that leads to my question, which is, would you be okay with dating someone who lived with their ex, or how would you react if you heard that on the third date and they weren't gay, Nick? They were clearly straight. Like, would you have a problem with that? Joe?
I'm trying to think I've ever dated a girl that lived with guys.
I hope. Oh, not ones that she dated. That's weird.
Yeah.
I don't think I have. I've always dated girls that had girl roommates.
Right, but my question was, like, how would you feel about it? Would you do it? Or, like, if someone told you that, would you be?
Yeah, I'd be okay. They said they're just friends, because I've had a lot of girlfriends. I have a lot of guy friends. You have a lot of guy friends. I mean, girls have guy friends, because sometimes girls get along with guys better than other girls.
Right, so I'm not saying, are you okay with her having friends? I'm saying if you were dating a girl and on the third date, she was like, hey, by the way, I forgot to tell you, I live with my ex-boyfriend. It was pretty serious. We broke up about 4 months ago, but we still live together because of financial reasons or because it's more zany than sexy. Would you be okay with that is the question.
Yeah, although he had a qualifying question that was pretty good. He goes, did you say I love you? And just like, yes. He's like, I'm out of here.
Oh, he that was qualified. Okay.
What about you, Hems? That was
a qualifying question.
So, Joe, are you saying you'd use a qualifier?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be weird, but I'm a pretty trusting person. You know me.
You are.
I trust everybody. So until you break the trust, I'm going to trust you.
Okay. Good answer, Hems.
I've been out of the dating game for about 2 decades. Okay. But being
out. Sounds like you're going to say 2 years. You said decade?
No, I wasn't going to say 2 years.
2 decades?
Why does that have a thumbs up? I shouldn't do that. Oh, so anyway, but I'm a stable person, so I don't think that would be a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's pretty weird. I definitely have a problem with it. Although I've never lived with Joe post-divorce. I know people in general, like, especially when we first got divorced, like had a problem with and thought it was weird that we were like friendly and I don't know, raising our kids in a way that didn't make us guests on Jerry Springer, which I've never understood. So when I look at it from that lens, then I can see it. I could see it multiple ways. But before we're out of time, Joe, did you have a question? We'll have to save when you had to stay with me for another time because we just don't have time.
Well, I mean, the only question here is, I mean, have you ever had a guy friend who you gotta say, okay, you got to pretend you're gay because I like this guy and he won't like you, even if it was just your friend, you know what I'm saying? Because some girls would do that. Some girls would be like, because they're like good friends, but because guys, not me, but other guys are like really jealous and they don't want their girlfriend to have any guy friends. I even know guys who make a rule when you get married, no guy friends.
Those people you know sound terrible and they should probably seek some counseling.
I've heard on TikTok.
Oh, God. I'm so upset that you have TikTok.
Yeah. We made rules that once we get married, you can't have guy friends. I can't have, you know, girlfriend.
Rather than answer that question, I'm just going to address how Joe has the TikTok app on his phone. And I was like, Joe, I didn't know you have TikTok. And he's like, I don't. And I'm like, well, you do. Because if you downloaded it, you have an account. I don't have an account. I just watch the videos. I'm like, no, you definitely have an account. Anyway, his daughter and I laughed about it for a while. Moving on. No, I've never asked any of my friends to pretend that they were gay. I wouldn't date someone who's that crazy and controlling. Hev, sounds like something you would have done.
It sounds like something I would
have done. Back when you dated 2 decades ago, guys probably weren't willing to pretend to be gay.
Exactly. I mean, 20 years is a long time, you guys.
It literally is.
Yeah. But I have no problem with it.
Do you have another question, Joe? We only have like 5-ish minutes.
Well, there's a great way to meet guys now or girls if you're the guy, persuasion. No. Love is blind. All you got to do is talk to a wall.
Yes.
And then you talk to a wall and they don't have to see you. There's no prejudgments. There's nothing. You just talk to a wall. But it's kind of strange that you watch this 5 minutes later. I love you. I love you too.
Why did they get an accent while they said they loved each other?
Yeah, it's weird talking to them. They're talking to a wall.
Okay, I could do a whole podcast episode on Love is Blind. And we're running out of time. But Joe, did you watch the new episodes that just got released like yesterday?
No.
I already watched them all. You got to catch up. It's so good. I hate how they're staggering it. Heather, have you watched Love is Blind yet?
I've never watched Love is Blind.
Oh, you're such a clown. You're going to have to go watch season one. Then you can watch the reunion. Then you can start watching season two, which just got released.
Oh, okay. I don't want to be a clown, so I'll do it.
Quick question. Would anyone here go on Love is Blind? Heves, the premise is 15 girls, 15 guys. The girls live together. The guys live together for 10 days. And you go into pods where you can't see the people. Talk to them. So you're like dating them without seeing them with the end game to get engaged before you meet. Then you go on vacation in Mexico for a week. Then they move you into an apartment for you guys to share for another like 2 weeks until you get married. And it works. It was successful. I know at least one couple still married from the first one. Most of them kind of fall apart. Some people you can tell are just looking for fame. 4 minutes left. Joe, would you go on Love is Blind?
I don't know, because I have the kind of personality that I gotta grow on you. So I don't know if like the first conversation. They might be like, what's this guy talking about? Because accurate. I'm always real. I'm never fake. You know, I'm always just me, and I just say what I think, and that's it. And some people might not like that.
Hebs, would you go on Love is Blind again, Gabe, to someone before you've seen them?
You. No, because that's crazy. And two, I couldn't live in a house with people for 10 days.
I mean, it seems like it's pretty comfortable, but it's not like a Big Brother thing. I think they might even have their phones and stuff, but
could I bring
no devices?
No devices. You're right. No devices. But what kills me about the no devices thing is that some people are like seeing their parents for the first time in 4 weeks. Like, you didn't talk to your parents for a month. Like, even a text, like, did they think you were dead? Like, they
no
I don't
device.
Know. If I have they some have issues with devices. It.
Yeah, no, they don't have their devices. I forgot. Joe's right. They don't. But anyway, we're running out of time and our podcast is actually about New Girl. So we will see you guys next week. We're getting closer to Joe visiting, where we're going to bank some episodes in person. Yay. And we hope you have a great week. Thank you so much for listening to us.
Bye, guys.
Bye.